thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Hide out in the cave, and he gathered an army there that ended up being Israel's army. So you're gonna hear some things that are gonna stir. So we need to be together, 8 o'clock Saturday morning, right here in Atrium. We'll have a time together, breakfast, get to know some people maybe that we all need to get to know. We'll do that together, okay? Notice on your message there, we're titled this, The Value of the Holy Spirit. Over the next couple months or so, you'll probably hear the title, at least The Value of, and we'll mention or we'll talk about another subject. We have a set of values. As a ministry, we have values. As individuals, we have values. You have values, maybe you don't even know them. You make decisions based on your values. What you see is important to you in your life, that's how you make your decision. That's where you work, that's where you live, how you raise your children is based on your values. You might not have listed them down or aware of them, but you do have values. Well, we have listed some of our values down as a ministry, things that are important to us. The first one that's of not only value to us, but of great help to us, is the value of the Holy Spirit. We value the work of the Holy Spirit. We realize that without the work of the Holy Spirit, we could not be where we're at today. Jesus made it very clear, without the Holy Spirit working in your life, you're just not going to have the kind of leading that you need, especially in the day that we live in. So we're going to talk about this subject. But let me tell you how it came about. Throughout the year, I'm invited to speak at different places, but mostly I stay in the area, and Youth with the Mission has their campus right here, and every quarter or so they have a new class that comes in. So Peter and Linda, for the last 20-plus years, have asked me to come over and greet the new class and share my story. I've shared my story hundreds of times, and I have to tell you that it's a challenge when I stand up there, but once I get into my story, I'm blessed again. Because I realize how much God has done in my life. Every one of us have a story, especially if you've been touched by the Lord and your life has changed. You know how dramatically it has changed. You know the difference he's made in your life. So you have a story. It's exciting to share that story. We're supposed to share that story. But I found recently, as I was sharing that story, that something became evident to me. And what became evident to me, that in the beginning of my walk with the Lord, although at that time I couldn't identify it as the work of God's Spirit, I couldn't identify it as the voice of God's Spirit speaking to me, but that's definitely what it was. And even though theologically I wasn't up to date to be able to identify it, I think I was in better shape not to know. Ignorance sometimes is some of the best way to approach the Lord, just so the Lord can have full reign into your life. And he certainly did at that time. But it became clear that after I made that decision to open up my heart to the Lord, I was 24 years old. I really had never touched the Bible before in my life. Although I grew up in a background that made mention of God, I myself never read the Bible. I drifted far from God and any knowledge that he even existed. I don't believe I was an atheist, but I certainly wasn't living for him, agnostic at the best. But when I opened up my heart and realized that God was real and he came into my life, something came in. When I said that simple prayer, something happened inside of me. You see, a relationship with God is different than religion. Religion is mostly external. Religion is a list of do's and don'ts, it's a ritual, it's things you do, it's how you put in your time to relieve some shame or guilt, and that becomes a religious experience with God. But a relationship is different altogether, and that's why I say that something came inside of me. Okay, what came inside of me? God's Spirit. God, the creator of heaven and earth, Spirit came alive in me. The Bible says, no, you're not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. So when that Spirit came inside of me, that Holy Spirit began to instruct me, and I began to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. One of the first things I heard, I was driving from the Colorado area where I prayed that prayer. I just said, God, if you're real, then you come into my heart and give me what they have where I was, down in that church where my brother had gotten saved. While I was driving my Volkswagen, all of you know part of my story, I had a 67 red, white, and blue Volkswagen Bug, and I was driving it back to California in 1971. And a voice became very, very real to me. It was a voice that wasn't outside, it was speaking from the inside, and it would begin to instruct and talk to me in very clear ways. For instance, at that time I was involved in a culture that was far from God, a drug culture, and I had been doing drugs. And I remember that in my Volkswagen there were drugs at that time, and when I made a move to just do what was normal for me to do, this voice inside of me said, no, I don't want you to do the drugs anymore. And guess what? I stopped doing drugs. And I remember driving along and picking up a hitchhiker, and in the conversation, I remember this voice inside of me cleaning up my language. You might think this is very simplistic or silly. To me, it wasn't. In that car and in those first weeks, I became a friend of the Holy Spirit. Or I should say, He became my friend. I became so close and so attentive to that voice that if I wasn't hearing that voice on a continual basis during the day, I felt somewhat lost. But I was hearing it, down to the smallest of things in my life. And that's what needed to be dealt with. Now, I found as I moved along in my maturity in the Lord that I got preoccupied with a lot of things, and I was challenged from time to time to get back to being more sensitive to that voice because of the value of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. I want to talk about that, not just that we understand the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, that the Holy Spirit is God Himself, or not just to understand that the Holy Spirit disperses the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or it's the Holy Spirit that leads us in a particular worship service, or it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want us to go beyond understanding those things which are all true, that the value of the Holy Spirit ought to be a very personal value to you. And I don't see how we can possibly grow in our faith. I don't see how we possibly can experience the abundant life or the joy of living for Jesus or the rewards of just serving Him daily unless that voice is alive and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, encouraging you, being everything that He wants to be to you. And I'm afraid that maybe we've kind of lost sight somehow of that value. All I want to do today is remind you. I just want to take you back and remind you. So the way we're going to do this is I'm going to take you on a little journey. And the journey is going to take us to the very beginnings of the book of the Bible, Genesis, in just a moment after I read our opening text. But it's more than a scriptural journey. It's more than just mentioning 30 or 40 verses. But it really what you're going to see in these verses is you're going to see how God intended for it to be from the very beginning, how God wanted to work with mankind, the relationship that God wanted, the intimate, personal relationship that God wanted, and His promises to those that were following Him would experience if they would listen to this particular voice. So it's a journey that ought to really build up our faith. How many would know that our faith needs to be built up just a little bit? We need that faith built up. So I'm going to do that. But look at our opening text. In the Gospel of John chapter 14, and Jesus is writing these particular words. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. Important. I will come to you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Now, the disciples, the followers of Jesus at this particular time, I wouldn't say go as far as say that they were depressed, but they were certainly distressed. And they were distressed over the fact that this Jesus, this one whom they decided to follow, they left everything. They left their families, they left their occupations, and they followed Jesus for some 3 years. They believed that he was the Messiah. He was the promised one that had come to this world. They were following him, and they became so close to him. They depended on him for their guidance. They depended on him for their security. They depended on him for their encouragement. This is the relationship they were building with Jesus. They had confidence in him. The words that he spoke were truth. And once they begin to establish this trust relationship, put a lot of dependency on him. And now he was saying, I'm leaving. He's leaving. Now, what would that do to you? Someone that you have become so close to. Sure, you would begin to wonder. So your foundation would begin to shake a little bit. And that's why Jesus was so explicit here when he said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not just going to let you out there wander on your own. You're still going to be part of the family. I'm going to be your helper. I'm going to teach you things. This Holy Spirit is going to bring things to your remembrance that I have taught you. So he was assuring them that the Holy Spirit would be with them to do everything that he did. And the Bible makes it clear even more. The works that I do, you will do, and even greater works will you do. Jesus was talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. So that's where we begin with the words of Jesus. But how did this play out with mankind's historical relationship with the God of heaven, the Creator? We know, without going into a lot of detail, that even though man sinned and rebelled against God, God never gave up on man. God had a plan in place, and that plan involved a man by the name of Abraham. He called Abraham, and he said, through you, I'm going to work out this relationship, and the rest of the world is going to see my relationship with you, and they're going to come to know you. So he built up a family and a people called the children of Israel. And this is where God became real to them. Now, Genesis chapter 41 and verse 38. Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Now, the context of this is Joseph finding himself in the land of Egypt under the leadership of a Pharaoh. It was Pharaoh who was speaking these words. Now, this is an important verse. Pharaoh recognizes that Joseph is different than his other servants. Joseph is different than the other people that lived around him and worked around him. He was different than the other Hebrews. He was different than the other Egyptians. And he said to his court, can we find anyone that has such a spirit? Here's one of the first points, is that when the Spirit is working in your life, it's evident to everybody. And if it isn't evident to everybody, there's something wrong. The Holy Spirit working in your heart and alive in your heart and real to you will be evident to who you work for or work with. It'll be evident in your family. It'll be evident in the community. Be evident in the church. It'll be an outstanding characteristic. It's so evident that the Spirit of God is on that person. Well, when I read something like that, I ask myself the question, do people see me that way? Not that they would see George. Not that they see you, but do they see the Spirit of God in you? In Exodus chapter 31 and verse 3, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Moses was building the temple according to the instructions that God had given him. Moses was told to go out and find workers, skilled men, artisans, those that could work with gold and silver and tin and wood and brick and things like that. And you're going to use them to build the temple. But notice what it says. I have filled them with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and all knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Even though they were gifted, this is an important point. Even though they were gifted, God still anointed them to do the job that God called them to do. You can be gifted. There are a lot of gifted people in this world. There are a lot of skilled professionals, there are a lot of skilled laborers and construction workers and lawyers and moms that do a good job. But you need to realize that our skills and gifts are not enough. God promises us even more. He'll anoint your skill. He'll anoint your gifting. He'll anoint your hands to even do far greater than you were capable of doing on yourself. How would you like that in your life? That's the promise of God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the value of the Holy Spirit. That we just don't do a job, we do an anointed job. And there's a difference I want to tell you right now. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 34, talking about Gideon, who was raised up to be a leader and to be a deliverer of the children of Israel from the Midianites who were robbing them of their harvest every year. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. When God calls a man or a woman, God's also going to put His Spirit in them, anoint them. So God was teaching them all throughout this relationship in the Old Testament, we call it, is that the value of the Spirit of God. They weren't just a blessed people. They weren't just a called out people. They were just not a chosen people. They were all of those things, but they were to be an anointed people. Judges chapter 14 and verse 19, we know about Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. We get our power from who? The Spirit of God. And that's what Samson had. In Nehemiah, when Nehemiah is referring back to the children of Israel and their experience in the wilderness, look what he said to God. God, you also gave your good spirit to what? Instruct them. I need instruction. As I journey through this life I make my decisions and I know that I have a vision and I want to see that vision carried out and I have goals, objectives, and purposes, I need the Holy Spirit to instruct me along the way. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will tell you when to turn right, it'll tell you when to turn left, it'll tell you when to go, it'll tell you when to stop. You'll hear a voice behind you telling you these things. That's the voice that became real to me at the beginning of my walk. I depended upon it. It's important. Someone asked me a question one time. I had it asked of me several times. What is the key, you know, because, you know, you have a good church, you have a good marriage, you have good family, and things seem to be clicking, and what would be the key? And you know, when I think about that, first of all, I'm humbled by the very fact that the question would be asked, but what would be the key? I think I've narrowed it down to this, is that hearing that small, still voice and obeying it in everything. That's not very profound. The key wasn't my opportunities to speak before thousands of people. My key wasn't even necessarily that at times God had used me to when a healing had taken place or I led people to the Lord. I mean, those are exciting times, but I think the key to any successful life follower of Jesus Christ is knowing the small, still voice and obeying it. Right? It is the key. Psalm 143:10, David's cry for guidance. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. David knew the value of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, we find the children of Israel in Isaiah 63:10, it says they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. We're going to come back on that because we have a verse in the New Testament that says the same thing. By the very fact that they grieve the Holy Spirit tells us that the Holy Spirit is a person. You don't grieve an inordinate object or thing. You grieve a person that has emotions and feelings. In Ezekiel chapter 36, it says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. I find so many people frustrated with their walk. Somewhat just... not only frustrated, but at the point of giving up, and just say, I've tried this, I've tried that, I don't really know where to go. And you can sit down and say, you need to read more of the Word of God, you need to really pray more, you really need to get around more fellowship. You can give them all those practical keys, but I think the greatest key is do you realize as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you that's going to lead you and direct you to follow the statutes of God? That God, the Holy Spirit, if you'll just get attentive, if you'll just get quiet, He'll tell you what is right. He'll tell you what is wrong. He'll tell you the right path to walk in. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher, and He is our guide. And Zechariah, when he was called to build the temple or finish the temple, Zerubbabel was called to do it. It said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. How are you going to complete this walk? Listen, if you started out in the spirit, don't end it in the flesh. Don't try to end it doing it on your own. If you started out in the spirit, you've got to finish it in the spirit. Now let's go to the New Testament. The verse, most practical verse, most used verse that jumps out is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When they were beginning to take this message of Jesus Christ, the good news, the promise of the Messiah had come. It's been fulfilled. He died. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He gave instructions. Tell the world this good news. Their sins are forgiven. They have access to the Father. But he said, before you do that, you're going to need the Spirit of God. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You can't be a real witness. You can't live a life that's pleasing to God without the power of the Spirit of God. You'll burn yourself out. You'll run out of 12-step programs to do. And I'm not degrading any programs that are helping people, but if you don't include the Spirit of God, if you don't include that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it's bound to fail. But we have the Spirit of God. Notice the value of the Spirit of God to the early believers. Why should it be of any less value today? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. What's the difference between saying it to them and being filled with the Spirit and saying it to them? You see, it's the Spirit. It's just like the Spirit is the inspired Word of God. That when you read the Word of God, it's more than letter. This book here is more than letter. There are a lot of good books. I read several books a month, and there are a lot of good ones that I'm reading, but there's a difference in this book. In this book, the only thing that makes a difference in this book, it's more than letter. It is spirit. So when Peter stood up and spoke it, being filled with the Holy Spirit, there was a difference because not only were his words anointed, the heart of those that were listening was anointed to hear. That's the Spirit of God that moves. In Acts chapter 4, again, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God boldly. The difference between before Jesus' resurrection and now was that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I love this verse because to me this is where the rubber meets the road. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 29, it says, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake the chariot.'" Let me ask you this. Is the Spirit that real to you that you actually hear on a regular basis, go here or go there, do this or do that? Well, you say, well, I don't know if that's really the Holy Spirit. Is that the Holy Spirit? Philip heard the voice of God, said, go near. In other words, there was a chariot going down. He said, listen, go catch up that chariot, jump on there. And I don't even know if the Spirit told him what he was going to do once he got on the chariot. I find a lot of time God just tells me to go. When I start going, he either starts revealing it to me, or when I get there, he reveals why I'm there. And that's okay. The Spirit of God will do that. But that's the Spirit of God said, go. When's the last time you just heard the Holy Spirit say, listen, why don't you call up Mary on the telephone and just tell her you love her? Just tell her that God loves her and I'm praying for you today. Because you sense that. You see, you want the Spirit of God's voice is spontaneous thoughts. The Holy Spirit's voice is nothing more than spontaneous thoughts that come to your mind. Well, how do I know it would be God to tell me to go call her up? Well, I guarantee it's not the devil telling you to call her up and encourage her in God. Right? How could you go wrong? Or I want you to go, someone needs a healing. I want you to go, lay your hands on them, pray for their healing. Well, God, I don't know if it's really going to work or not. It's not you anyway. Just go, lay your hands on someone, pray for their healing. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Listen, that's why Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do. But greater than these, the Spirit of God is going to inhabit the whole church of Jesus Christ, believers around the world where they're going to go in the name of Jesus and perform the things that Jesus did. That's how we're going to affect this community. That's how we're going to change this community, is all of us going back to where we belong and just doing what God told us to do. Go, stop, listen, do this, do that. There's a value in learning the voice of God and following His Spirit. Acts 9:31 says, "And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the," notice this, "the comfort of the Holy Spirit." The comfort of the Holy Spirit. But I don't know about you, but when I walk this walk, I really need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I really do. I need the Holy Spirit to comfort me. I need to know the Holy Spirit's there to, at times, just pull me to his side and say, "Everything's okay, son. It's going to work out." I need the comfort. And we have the Holy Spirit that will do that for us. The Spirit said to him, "Simon, once again, 3 men are looking for you." Okay, 3 men. "Then the Spirit told me to go with them." And he went with them. Do you see how real the Holy Spirit was to the whole beginnings of the church? "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted." Now notice this. "And the Holy Spirit said, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." Did you get this one here? It's almost like they're in this church committee meeting. And they're sitting down and they're making a decision, you know, to go here or go that or do this. And this particular one was to send missionaries out. And, you know, they had such a relationship with the Holy Spirit that once they felt good about it, then they said, "You know, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. It also seems good to us. Okay, let's do it." It's like, Holy Spirit agrees, we agree, let's do it. Man, that's a relationship, folks. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Did you ever hear a no from the Holy Spirit? Did you listen to the no? I was watching the different dynamics of the different families that were at our house on Thanksgiving. We had 35 people at Thanksgiving, and that made up several different families and a lot of kids. And I noticed this throughout the day that, you know, the different kids, this father or this mother and their kid was, they're all watching their own different individual children, and this one would get up and they were getting into an area where they should, that's a no-no place. You know, no, they had to say no to that. And I watched that all day long. What was happening? It was loving fathers, loving mothers, what, teaching their children how to live right, how to act right. Nothing wrong with it whatsoever. And yet we become so high and mighty that we don't think we have a loving Heavenly Father that simply wants us to act right, live right, and do what is right. And every once in a while we're going to hear, "No, don't do that. No, don't go there." I so appreciate my son-in-law and my daughter, who they have 4 children now, 6, 4, 3, and 2 months. And they were all over there, and I noticed when they discipline and they when they pull their children aside and they first instruct them on, "You're not supposed to be doing that," they make them do this. They say, "Listen, now look me in the eye and say, 'Yes, Mama, yes, Daddy.'" In other words, just look at, and when they're being disciplined, they don't want, "No, look me in the eye, what do you say?" "Yes, Mama." I thought, that's good. You know, it's good, you know, every once in a while we need to, when we hear that no, we need to look our father right in the eye and say, "Yeah, Daddy. Yes, Father. Yes, Father." In other words, don't just be running off to the next thing, but take time under the discipline, ask the forgiveness, repentance, say, "Yes, Father." You follow what I'm saying here? I hope this is not too simple, but this is why I walk my walk with the Lord. And I want to tell you, the benefits are great. The Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 20 warns me. Wow. The Holy Spirit warns you what to do and what not to do. In Romans now, in 8, it says, "But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your," what? "Mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." The Holy Spirit wants to give life to your mortal bodies. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God," these are the what? All right. You can't separate them. If you're a son of God, a daughter of God, then you're led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, then you're a son or daughter by God. Is that right? So there's that link. It's the being led by the Spirit of God distinguishes you as a child of God, a son of God, or a daughter of God. Romans 8 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in all our weaknesses. It goes on to say there, we do not know what to pray, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us. There's not always the words to know how to pray. But you know, you're in a struggle, your back's against the wall, there's all kind of pressure, bills that have to be paid, just seems like one crisis happened after another, and you're just kind of worn out. Listen, that's when you take time and pray, and although you might not know how to pray, just begin to open your mouth and let the Holy Spirit make intercession for you before the Father. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great verse, 2 Corinthians, and the love of God, notice here the Trinity, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. That word communion means partnership, or it means the participation. So Paul's blessing at the end of this letter is that let the partnership, let the participation of the Holy Spirit go with you. That was a blessing that came from him. I want to mention these two now because this is how I'm going to kind of wrap this up in a few moments. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I want to tell you what really separates us from or hinders us from really hearing the voice of God or understanding the leading of God's Spirit. This is where we'll put action to all the things that we've learned now. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. So there's a grieving of, and then there's a quenching of the Holy Spirit. There are differences. When you grieve someone, it's something you do to someone. You hurt them. You've said something. You've done something that was displeasing. As a result, you've hurt them. You're a child of God. You're to be walking as a child of God, but you find yourself back doing the things that you used to do before. You're harboring bitterness, and that's a grief to the Holy Spirit because you've been set free from those things. To quench the Holy Spirit is like putting a candle out, wet your fingers, shh. You just distinguish that flame. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. This is what we don't do. Grieving is what we do, what we don't do. We don't rejoice when we should be rejoicing. We don't give thanks when we should give thanks. We don't give praise when we ought to give praise to the one who deserves praise. You're quenching the Holy Spirit. We come in and we hang on to an attitude. We hang on to, well, this is the way I feel, therefore I'm not going to. We don't worship God. We don't give him praise. We don't give him allegiance because of the way we feel. It's because of who he is. We don't forgive when God has forgiven us. And as a result of it, we're not giving him access into our life. We don't talk to God the way we ought to talk to God. And as a result, we've turned him off. It's not that he left us, it's just that's what has happened. I want to share just one story, and we will wrap this up with this story. Story comes out of the Old Testament. The character here is Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet of God. He did mighty things for God. You remember him. He's the one who called down fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. The result of it, all the prophets of Baal were slain and Israel turned their hearts back to God. It was a tremendous victory for Israel, for God. Right after that, he found himself running and hiding because of a woman named Jezebel. Jezebel was out to get him. He was destroying her life and therefore she was going to kill him, basically. So he runs and he hides himself in a cave. And out of this story, I want us to see something. Then he said, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain. It's found in 1 Kings 19, before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Say that with me, still small voice. So it was When Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Elijah, if you think back on his life as a prophet, think about it. He was involved really in some of these things that God is bringing before him. He called fire down from heaven. He caused it to rain in such a way it was flooding the place. With the rain came the shakings and the thunderings and the lightnings. And Elijah was living in that realm of these miraculous things happening that involved nature actually responding. But God was trying to tell him a message. He said, Elijah, you're going to have times when you'll be used in ways to call fire down from heaven. Now follow along, put yourself here. You'll be used in ways when the miraculous will happen. And there are times in your walk where there's going to be these mighty highs, if you will. You'll be on the mountaintop. But I think the message that he wanted to give to Elijah and the message he wants to give to us is that those things will happen in the believer's walk. Those things are going to happen to us in our ministries. And there'll be times when this ministry has been involved in several things that seem very miraculous and very dramatic. But the everyday living it out, following Jesus, doing what is right, being conformed to his image and likeness, and just letting the world know that there's a light that shines in darkness, and this light is available to them. In order for you to be successful, you can't just be looking for the big moments. Don't be looking for just the dramatic, miraculous moments in your life and that the rest of your walk is just lived in frustration. And if they don't happen, you're frustrated. Listen, every day can be a miracle with God. Every day could be a victory for God. And you know where that victory is by every one of us knowing the still, small voice of God's Spirit. Knowing that voice speaking to us and saying, you know, tell your wife you love her. Tell your children you love her. Spend some time with your children. Show that person on the job you forgive them. Reach out to your neighbor. Just listening to that voice. Don't go to those places that you know that's where you were before. Warning, flag, stop, and you stop. So by listening to that voice, what do you become? You become that ambassador that God talked about. You become that lighthouse. You become that salt. You become every thing God wants you to be. And in the meantime, you're being conformed into the image and likeness of Christ. That's where we live. Isn't that where we live? I thank God for the big opportunities. But I don't live there all the time. Neither do you. Where we live is we need to familiarize ourselves and see the value of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, 5, verse 18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you stand, please? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want us to take a moment before we rush off.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.